Thank you to Green Chef for sponsoring this episode.
What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. T is an incredibly resilient, multi-crime survivor from Madagascar. She first joined a dating app in her mid-20s with the hope of finding the love of her life. She wasn't expecting to be swept off her feet and away to America, but life had other plans for her. However, when she arrived, she was shocked to quickly learn the highly abusive nature of her new husband's actions. T soon found herself escaping a marriage with a man who not only worked to systematically crush her spirit, but also allegedly sex trafficked her. Her heartache didn't end there, though. After freeing herself and fleeing to another state, T watched from afar as her ex-husband's violence reached an insurmountable point. The Broken Cycle Media team is in deep awe of T's resilience, and we are incredibly grateful for her vulnerability amidst these episodes.
Hi, I am T. I am a survivor of domestic violence and sexual trafficking. I am 37 years old. I love singing, dancing. And I'm from Madagascar, which is an island that broke off from Africa. Originally, there were no people. It's not African people. There is a lot of people that came to Madagascar a long time ago. Specifically, my people moved from Indonesia. There is Africans, Arabs, Malaysian people. Those are the people that worked hard to make Madagascar a country. There is cities. We have a capital, which we call Antananarivo. It's a big city. We have jungles, cars, and buildings. It's a beautiful tropical island, but it's very poor also. My family has been in Madagascar for a long time ago. Mommy's still alive. Dad passed 15 years ago. I have 3 brothers and 1 sister. Every one of my siblings, I am the only one that don't have children. And everyone have a good life. I, on the other hand, feel like something happened all the time to me. So I call myself the cursed girl. When I was 9 years old, I was molested. It started right there, what I call curse. And it goes on and on and on throughout my life. My father was an alcoholic, and I remember when I was a child, my father comes home. He was trying to beat us up. There is some time when we don't eat because he would spend all the money with alcohol or give to girls. There were some time I walked to school barefoot. I still remember that day where it was very hot and I had to run on the grass so I don't burn my feet on the ground. And it's like 4 miles back and forth. School in Madagascar, if you are not rich, you are walking. My mom was a seamstress. She wasn't a single mom, but she was considered as a single mom since the husband wasn't providing. I was just dreaming of this perfect life since I was a child because I saw the struggle. I wanted to be a flight attendant because it's making money and you were going places. I wanted to be a mom, a good wife, finding a man that is not like my father. For me, it doesn't need to be rich or having this and that. Just have the minimum and the perfect relationship. With the past trauma I had, I hated boys for quite a time. When I was a teenage girl, everyone in my class had boyfriend, and what I was thinking is men are bad news. Until I was 18 years old and found someone that I was interested in. So I changed my mind and then got involved with this guy, suffered from that relationship, then got involved with another guy, the same again and again. I was with a French guy. We got engaged. We couldn't get pregnant. So the guy cheated on me. And I was like, I am so tired of love. I started to think about the curse because nothing was going right. I never thought about going anywhere else than my country. But after that heartbreaking situation, I was like, I am done with Madagascar. This curse is killing me. So I am gonna find a way to get out. That's why I went on internet dating sites, talked to guys here and there, just disappointment, until a guy was talking to me. I was skeptical at first. He was 15 years old than me. But October 2015, we started to talk. He wanted to video chat with me, and I was like, I don't understand what you're saying. Madagascar, mostly we speak our language, Malagasy, and French. English is an option when you go to school, and I missed it. I found always excuses not to do it. We were talking on Google Translator. Like, I say it in French, and then I just translate it in English, and he's sending me vice versa. We were in a romantic conversation all the time. He knew everything. He knew my father was an alcoholic, that every man that was in my life was total garbage. He knew that I was molested, that I was almost married and got dumped. Everything about my life, he knew. And he was telling me things about his life also. He told me that he was married before, have a son, divorced, and that his son needs a mother. I was like, I'm okay with having him as my child, along with our child. He was like, perfect. I am not rich or anything, but I can provide for us. He was showing me pictures of the house, picture of his family, of his kid, and everything was so modest, but it was okay for me because I found the guy, and whatever he was saying was good.
These last few weeks of the summer season are my favorite, and so are all the fresh foods that the season brings. What better time to get Green Chef, the number one meal kit for clean eating? Green Chef makes it easy to spend less time in the kitchen and more time enjoying the season. Perfect for supporting your wellness journey, Green Chef recipes feature fresh, organic, seasonal produce and 100% responsibly sourced proteins to help you feel your best. Green Chef's real, clean ingredients help you build lasting, healthy habits without any hassle. With 80-plus dietitian-approved weekly meal options, Green Chef makes it easy to find meals that fit your lifestyle. The recipes change every week, and with week-to-week flexibility, you can adjust your plan to match your mood and your schedule. Personally, I've never had a Green Chef seafood recipe that I haven't loved, and my kiddos are definitely big fans of the chicken tacos with bacon and corn salsa. With meals the whole family is sure to love, make the summer your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Just head to greenchef.com/50WCN and use the code 50WCN to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50WCN at greenchef.com/50WCN. Thank you again to Green Chef for sponsoring this episode.
We were talking every single day. We weren't missing any day at all. When it's daytime there, it's nighttime in here, so it's different, but we still find a way to talk. I can talk to him until 2 o'clock in the morning, every day. And he was like, I just want to see you if you are real. So we started to see each other. We were Skyping, and I don't say anything. I just say, hi, how are you? And that's about it. He was talking to me, and I'm like, I didn't even know what he was saying. And we were just looking at each other, and it was paid. You have to go to a cyber cafe. There is like 10 minutes or 30 minutes. It depends on how much money you have. He was asking me if I wanted to go to America, and I said, yes. He asked me if I wanted to marry him, and I said, yes. And then he started the paperwork back in 2016. The beginning of 2017, we got denied because he has to see me first, because you cannot just marry someone that you never saw. But he can appeal after he meet me. So in April 2017, he came to Madagascar just to meet me and propose. That's how long we've been talking before seeing each other. I am surprised we've made it that far. We met each other finally. He was coming from Michigan. He brought a lot of stuff. We stayed at the hotel. He was there for only 3 or 4 days. He was very generous, and he was this loving man. I was smitten big time. Here, this guy, the sweetest guy ever. Finger crossed that everything go right and my paperwork would turn in good, that I can marry this guy right that second. But we had to wait. So he leaves, submit the paperwork. We were waiting. And at that time, we had a fight. He was insulting me and blocked me. That should have been a red flag for me. My mom knew about the insult. My mom was like, that's not how you treat a lady, even if you are so mad. I was around 27 or 28, but I felt like a teenage girl that was in love, that I did not see the signs. When we blocked each other, I was back on the website again, and then I was talking to someone, and it was him. He was testing me, and I'm like, you blocked me, so what the heck? I thought we were done. Why you were spying on me like that? And it was a second red flag, but he was like, I am sorry, I wanted to know what you were doing. And I'm like, what are you expecting me to do? You're blocking me. I blocked you. I want to get someone that is serious. And obviously, you're not serious. You are just wasting my time. My thinking was, he got what he wanted. Now he doesn't need me anymore. He apologized and sent me money. And I was like, okay, he's really trying to apologize, and he's trying to do the right thing. He sent a screenshot of the submission of the paperwork again. we got back together again in October 2017. We started to say I love you and all that romantic things again, like nothing happened. He was sending me money all the time just to shut me up. One day in January, almost my birthday, I remember, we got approved because the embassy of Madagascar called me. You got approved for your K-1 visa and we need you to make an appointment for this and that. And I'm screaming, I am going to America. Finally, I'm going to get the life I wanted. I gathered everything they needed and I went to the capital. I got everything done around April 2018. He bought a one-way ticket for me. And the day came for me to leave, say goodbye to everyone. And I got in the airport and they did not let me go because I don't have a return ticket. And I told them my future husband bought me a one-way ticket because I'm never going to go back. And they did not let me go.
Explaining that I have a K-1 visa, which is valid for 90 days. And in case I did not marry my future husband at that time, I needed a plane ticket to return back.
And I still keep insisting, I want to go. I'm going no matter what. So I told him I did not leave. And he got so freaking mad at me, telling me names again. And I'm like, it's not my fault. The airport is asking for a return ticket. That's their condition. He blocked me again. I was about to kill myself because I said goodbye to everyone. I posted on Facebook. It was a freaking shame that I did not leave. My mom was like, it's not meant to be. And I was like, no, it's just a technical problem. I am meant to go. I am meant for a better life. And so I had an idea of contacting his mom because we talked a couple times on Facebook also. And I told his mom, can you please help me get a ticket so I can take care of your son and your grandson? I will work hard and reimburse you. She felt pity because I was desperate. She was like, I'm going to talk to him. And if you can get your one-way ticket still, I'll buy a return ticket for you. So they rescheduled my flight. He unblocked me and we've been talking again. Finally, I left May 1st, 2018. Got in America May 2nd. I got in Chicago by myself, not speaking English. He wasn't even there to pick me up. He was in Michigan. I was in Chicago. And I had to find my way to the hotel. And I was like, that is not good. What kind of person cannot pick up your future wife at the airport? He was working. He was a pizza delivery driver.
So a shift could be changed.
Yeah. It was a control thing, like I do whatever I want. That's how I am taking it now that my head is clearer. The next day, he picked me up from Chicago hotel and we went to Michigan, 4 hours drive or so. We arrived at the house. We met the family. Everything was perfect. It was welcoming. The house was modest and had the comfort that I never had before. I just sat and said, this is home. And my life started there. But one red flag that I had was as soon as I got in America, maybe a day or 2 days later, he put me on birth control. He knows well that I wanted to have children. I'm like, what is going on? Because I don't speak the language. He set up a doctor appointment for me to get the implant. and already had a translator in French. I asked the lady what's going on, and she was like, your fiance wants you to have birth control. I was like, is it gonna make me not having children later? And she's like, if you want to get pregnant, you just take it out. And so I asked the lady, can you translate for me? Why are we doing this? So she asked him. He's like, well, we just met each other now, and we're not ready to add to the family yet. We have to have our life better first, and then you can still take it out later. So I did it. At the time, I did not have phone because I just got in America. We were talking to my mom through his phone every time. Another red flag is he is spying on his ex-wife and has her photos in every computer. And I'm like, why are you still having her picture? Oh, he's to have a picture of her for my son's school because he said that he's scared his ex-wife would go to school and kidnap his son. But here's the thing. You have to have a picture of a face of a woman, like a wanted person. That's about it, what you should have. He has album. I confronted him about it. Why you still have all her photos? Oh, it's for my son. I'm like, you should deleted all this. And he was like, yeah, I should deleted everything before you come here. I did not have time. You had 3 years. You did not do it. I was so freaking mad. So he deleted it in that one. Again, he goes to work and I go on the computer and I see sex videos of them. I did not say anything anymore. I did not confront him. I just deleted it myself. Each one of them. I had 90 days to get married to this guy. It was K-1 visa, like the 90-day fiancé. We got married almost at the end of the deadline, July 2018. I remember when we got married. We were dancing our first dance. I am not a drinker, but he offered me champagne and I was drinking. I got a little happy, you know, the sensation of drinking alcohol when you have zero tolerance. The champagne was getting to me and I was whispering to him, in your face, Laura, now he is only mine. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, now you're mine. I didn't know that was wrong to say that. He did not say anything during the day. When the guests were gone, we were upstairs and he grabbed me very hard on my arm. At that time, I started to speak English because I was speaking with the son and he was teaching me. We were watching cartoons and all that. He grabbed me and he was like, what was that stunt? You didn't have to say that thing. He gets mad because I was talking about Laura. I was like, why can't I talk about Laura? You have her picture everywhere in this freaking house. And you are telling me you deleted them. You delete a little bit of pictures, but I found some more. And he was like, you are looking at my computer. He pushed me on the stairs. Good thing I did not break any bones. I had only bruises on my arm. It started right then, our wedding night. I was confused. I'm like, what did I do wrong? I'm not allowed to be jealous of this picture that is everywhere in the house. I was crying and crying. I was a little bit scared of him. I think he realized I was flinching when he was talking. And he apologized and I'm so sorry. I did not mean to be like that. I was very drunk, but it never happened again. And I was like, why did you do that? why do I have this bruise on my arm? He was like, no, it was just an accident. I got mad and you got defensive and you just rolled off the stairs. I was like, oh, he did not do it on purpose. It's just silly me made things worse. So, of course, it was my fault. We were fine for a while until he gets a lot of alcohol. My father was an alcoholic and it was a nightmare. I told him when we met, I don't want anyone that is alcoholic in my life. In our 3 months together, he was like drinking maybe 1 to 2 beers every day. But now after the wedding, he's literally drunk all the time. So one day I was like, I thought you weren't drinking a lot like this. He got so mad at me. He was waving in front of my face, trying to slap me but not touching me very violently. I felt the wind across my face. And then another time, he did the same thing but punching the wall behind me. An inch from my face, it started getting like that. He grabbed my face when he's mad at me. One time, he was telling me about a way to find money because I wasn't working and he was working as a delivery driver. His dad was asking him, you are asking me money all the time. Why don't you find another job? He was like, this is convenient for me because I can have time off for my son's basketball practice. So his idea was making me have this job involving sex. I told him, no, I don't want to do that. I am your wife. Why would you want your wife to do that? He grabbed my face and squeezed it so much. He was like, exactly, you are my wife and you have to do what I say. I said, no, I don't have to do what you say if I don't want to. And while he was squeezing my face, he pushed my head backward and he just left. We did not talk about that anymore for a while. He come up to me again and telling me, how about this? You can make a lot of money to preach at church. So if I don't want to do sex thing, I have to be a preacher. And I'm like, first of all, I have to be better in my English. How can I say words to people if they don't understand me? You don't become a preacher just because you want it. That's what I told him. He got freaking mad. He had something on his hand and he threw it across and almost hit me. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? I was starting to get scared of him until one day he set his mind on the sex thing. He approached me with the idea and I told him, it's against the law. You are my husband and you want me to do that. This time he grabbed my neck and squeezed very hard and telling me, there is no option. We don't have money and you have to do it. I was crying at that time. I didn't know what to do. Mind you, I did not have phone because he said that we cannot afford it yet. Since I am at home, then I don't need a phone. So there is no way for me to contact anyone outside the US. And even if I say something to my family, what can they do? And so what I had to do was comply. He set up everything. He got on a website and put up my picture. He was like, we are going to have a room party. I was the entertainment for those guys. And there is price for couple and price for single guy. I don't know what happened. Every time he might put something in my drink because I don't remember anything. And we did that multiple times.
and we go to church. Nobody knows what's inside the house. I have to smile to those people, show those people that we are this beautiful, perfect family. Nobody knew what was inside of that family. Even the son doesn't know what was inside of that family. He just knew we looked happy.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
He was in jail from December to February. I heard he was gonna get out of jail from a bond. And that's when I drove from Michigan to Arizona. 3 nights and 4 days. Driving. And then COVID hit. He got out of jail. And I heard he was looking for me. I had to look over my shoulder all the time, every day.
Thank you again to Green Chef for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget to make this summer your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head to greenchef.com/50WCN and use code 50WCN to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50WCN at greenchef.com/50WCN. What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.